This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
Bringing you a common sense and fresh perspective to creating a just society. This is Common Sense on Social Justice. You'll get equipped with the tools you need to carry out social justice right where you are. Now, here's the host of Common Sense on Social Justice, Michael Davis.
Thank you once again for joining us on this adventure through creating a just society right where you are. And we are in the middle, or towards the end rather, of a study of Quadragesimo Anno, the encyclical that was released by Pope Pius XI in 1931. And we're in part eight today. There's a ninth part, and then we'll be finished with this study. I hope it's been a benefit to you to see how to work towards just wages, just working conditions, understanding how economies should be working in a just world. And in all of that, we want to not just hear it, but put it into practice. You know, Satan is the master deceiver. And St. Paul says that Satan appears as an angel of light in order to deceive us. Pope Pius XI, in this section of the encyclical that we're studying today, and we're studying, by the way, paragraphs 111 through 129, Pope Pius XI talks about how diabolical socialism is. And so he's going to go deeper into a look at socialism and talks about how diabolical it is, but that there's a new form of socialism that had arisen in his day in 1931 that is more moderate, a little more tasteful, but is just as opposed to Christianity as the outright diabolical form of socialism. So he breaks that down for us today. And the Pope begins with a discussion about how the evils of capitalism have been established, but that he now wants us to look further into the evils of socialism. Now, as a caveat, as we get started, the Pope isn't all about just bashing certain forms of economies or governments. Now, what the Pope is doing is just exposing things as they are, and then from there, he helps us find the answers. Now, in the next episode, which will be the final episode in the series, the Pope, Pius XI, is really going to give us answers. And really, what is the answer to all of this injustice in the various economies and the various markets where laborers are experiencing unjust wages and conditions? What is the answer? He'll get to that. But it is important for him to expose to us the evils so then he can lead us to the justice and what that really looks like. We are going to cover a lot of territory today. In fact, I said we're covering paragraphs 111 through 129. That is a lot of territory. So rather than going paragraph by paragraph, I'll show a few discussion points that is laid out in the section of this encyclical. And the first one is that socialism has its foundation, as its foundation, an opposition to Christianity. So Pope Pius XI establishes that no matter how socialism presents itself, at its very foundation is opposition to Christianity. He states that socialism has split into two categories. There's the extreme form of socialism and the moderate form. And he states that the extreme is obviously diabolical, and the moderate makes the appearance of goodness, but still shares the same foundation of opposing and being opposed to Christian truth. I would say the United States of America has a form of moderate socialism, and maybe Venezuela has a diabolical form. So in the United States, You see this moderate form of socialism as an appearance of compassion for the poor, which actually ends up being a trap. So some forms of, you know, the United States of America is touted as this capitalist nation, and by and large it is, but there's a lot, this moderate form of socialism is really getting built into the fabric and has been for the last 100 years, really been built into the fabric of America. And it's through social programs. And through these social programs, you have this, again, moderate form of socialism that has the appearance of compassion for the poor, but ends up being a trap for the poor. So, for example, minimum wage. I've talked about minimum wage before, and I'm not a fan of the minimum wage. And you may say, Michael, don't you want people to have a just wage? Yes, I've been preaching that all along in this series and in other series, but the problem is the minimum wage is not a just wage, never will be a just wage. And minimum wage actually creates an injustice to businesses as well, especially if you put artificial, limits. Because let me put it this way. I'm struggling through my words because I'm trying to get this thought together. The minimum wage, as I've said before, is actually a maximum wage. Because if employers are forced to pay, for example, $15 an hour, guess what they're going to pay? $15 an hour. They're not going to say, oh, well, we're required by law to pay $15 an hour. We're going to pay $20 an hour. No, they're going to pay what is that wage. And minimum wage kind of artificially forces prices up and down. And then it becomes a trap because then people who are not as skilled and educated, they get put in these jobs that have this minimum wage attached to it, and then they cannot provide a place and food and all these items for themselves. So it actually, and then because they're working all the time at these minimum wage jobs trying to get by, they don't have the time to educate, to get proper education, skill building, and these minimum wages do not teach skills. People are just a cog in the wheel, these minimum wage jobs, like fast food restaurants and places like that. So it really ends up becoming a trap. So again, the minimum wage is a moderate form of socialism that has the appearance of compassion for the poor, but it actually ends up being a trap for the poor. Other, you know, examples would include not just the minimum wage, but welfare programs, just various socialist traps. I think of housing programs that I've seen them get people trapped, and then they become dependent on the system and on the government, and then they end up in a vicious cycle, and they're never able to provide for themselves and thrive. And as Pope Pius XI goes back to, they're never able to own property. So people on these social welfare programs will never get to the place of being able to own property. Now, the second point that the Pope brings up is that just as capitalism has changed and fallen into dictatorial ways, so socialism has fallen into the abyss of communism, which is satanic because communism opposes all that is good. And further, people refuse to oppose socialism or remove the conditions of society that would allow for it. And the same for communism. People just don't oppose it. They refuse to. And again, they refuse to remove the conditions of society that would allow for communism. You see, communism does not exist in a vacuum. What happens is a problem is created. Hey, look, capitalism is bad. Look at the evils of what capitalism has done. Therefore, you need communism to correct capitalism. That's kind of the status quo narrative, if you will. And so the Pope brings out in this section of the encyclical that What we actually need to do is remove the conditions of society that allows for communism to even have any root. I think of, you know, wrote down what are some of the conditions that gives a space for people to accept communism into their society. One would be unruly capitalism. I mean, capitalism out of control is an evil thing. So instead of the diabolical aspects of government dictatorship and in unruly capitalism, you end up with diabolical dictatorship from the corporations. Another condition that allows for communism to take root is just a society that is lazy and does not want to earn its way. People just want handouts. And when you get people comfortable and lulled to sleep in social welfare programs, then they don't want to earn their way and be a contributor to society. They would prefer to be lazy. I was reading recently of the various things that caused the Roman Empire to collapse. And, you know, of course, there was the constant invasions from other nations and barbarians and so forth. There was the conversion of people to Christianity, which was a rather anarchist religion at that point in history. So you either had to choose between Caesar or Jesus, those types of things, and not being involved in the empire, but rather, you know, living with Jesus as king, which really informed their whole life. You also, though, had a point in the Roman Empire where more people were on welfare than people who were working, and it just became top-heavy and collapsed under that weight as well. So when a society gets lulled to sleep to the point of where it just wants handouts, that creates a space for communism to take over. Another way condition for communism to take root is a society that is geared toward what is convenient and not what must be worked for. Okay. So you have in our current society, in Western society, people are geared towards what is convenient. Look, we cook with microwaves rather than just, you know, growing our food, cleaning the food from the ground, preparing it. There's a million conveniences that we have in modern society, but when we're geared towards a society that is convenient rather than having the mindset that if I want or need something, I must work for it, then communism can take root. The government can step in and say, oh, we'll take care of you. Then you don't have to do anything. So we're set up for failure when we're geared towards what is convenient. And I don't think in the Gospels that Jesus taught anywhere that his disciples should do what is convenient. No. In fact, I believe Jesus called us to self-denial. I believe that in the Gospels, Jesus called us to pick up our cross of suffering and follow him. Jesus did not call us to the wide, straight, convenient path that leads to destruction. Rather, he called us to the windy, difficult, narrow path that leads to eternal life. Another point, the third point that the Pope brings out in this section is that there are those who have figured out that socialism is not good as it slides into communism, so they want to have a discussion. So the Pope brings out that these individuals support private property, but that the state should own property when it is necessary. That class warfare should be empowered, and that they just want justice for the worker, just like the church does. But I think of Pharaoh. You know, God had called Moses to go and set the people of Israel free from centuries of slavery to Egypt. And so Moses goes, he confronts the Pharaoh, says, God wants you to let his people go and set them free from these centuries of slavery. And the Pharaoh tries to compromise with Moses. Now, Moses had laid out very clearly what the terms of this look like. Like, you know, the people need to go out into the desert. They need to sacrifice animals to God. has to be, you know, the feast has to last a certain amount of time. And the Pharaoh would say, well, sure, go for it. And Pharaoh's like, I'm for this. I go do this feast to your God. Just leave the wives and children. And Moses says, no, we have to have everybody in this feast. And Pharaoh's like, no deal. And then, you know, they had to plague, and Moses comes back, says, set the people free. And Pharaoh's like, fine, this time do this and this, but only, you know, 2 days. I just want you gone for 2 days. You know, and Pharaoh's like, no, can't happen. You know, it's all these compromises. And what Pope Pius XI brings out is that's what the socialists are doing. Is they're saying, let's have a conversation. Let's see if we can find some common ground. Oh, sure, we're about property ownership, but we want the government to own some property too. And what happens, as we all know, is that the government is never happy. The government is never satisfied with enough. So if you let the government have a little bit of property, it ends up taking all of it. So the Pope says that if this is the case of compromise, then they should not be socialist. And I love the humor that Pope Pius XI brings out of this. He says, if this is the case that as a socialist that you just want justice for the worker just like the church does, then don't be socialist. Become Catholic. And I love that comical yet so true and clear and forward remark of the Pope. If you claim to be a socialist, but you see things just like the church does, then stop being socialist, just become Catholic. You know, but what he's doing is calling their bluff on that. Point four that the Pope brings out is now he shows that these claims to care about private property or for workers' rights are an empty claim. He says that it is foolish to believe that socialists are really interested in compromise. And that if the socialist wants to compromise, then does that mean that the church is supposed to compromise as well in order to meet the socialist halfway? Again, referring to that story between Moses and Pharaoh, you can't compromise with evil. There is no halfway point between the church and evil. It's all or none. And he states that to be a true apostle among the socialists is to hold forth Christian truth in its entirety with no compromise, and to invite the socialists to recognize that to truly care about justice, that the church is the one who is the most equipped for this. To show the socialists that the government is not equipped, and historically it has been proven that the government is not equipped and the state is not equipped to deal with justice for workers, but the church is well equipped for this, and the church has historical proof to prove this. A fifth point is that no matter what changes socialism makes, it is still at odds with Christian teaching on society. I want to read paragraph 118 to you for the church's teaching on what society is. I love, again, the clarity in all of this that the Pope brings out. But no matter what, socialism can never come to be on the same side as the church into what society is. So in paragraph 118, he says, and this is short, "For according to Christian teaching, man, endowed with a social nature, is placed on this earth so that by leading a life in society and under an authority ordained of God, he may fully cultivate and develop all his faculties unto the praise and glory of his Creator. And that by faithfully fulfilling the duty of his craft or other calling, he may obtain for himself temporal and at the same time eternal happiness. Socialism, on the other hand, wholly ignoring and indifferent to this sublime end of both man and society, affirms that human association has been instituted for the sake of material advantage alone." Bam! He nails it. That socialism is all about the here and now, the temporal conveniences and comforts of the person, but the church and true society is concerned Yes, about the temporal needs of people, but also the eternal happiness of people. So within a society, you must include the eternal. In fact, that should be the central theme. So in America, we made a very grave mistake by getting rid of the church, getting rid of God and society in the various ways that we have. Because without a focus on bringing people to know God and bringing people into eternal life, a society is really no society at all, because society is built with God as its center. For God is the ultimate society within the Holy Trinity. So without the Holy Trinity as center, you have no foundation, you have no standard by which to even judge what a society should look like. Now, in paragraph 120, he states that no matter what claims socialism makes, it is at odds with Christian faith. It just is not possible to be both Catholic and socialist, he states. The sixth point is that proper education is the key to avoiding socialism. Proper education is the key to avoiding socialism. Wow. This is a huge point, because in our public school system, the government is now very clearly, you can't mistake it, the government is using our public schools and our university systems to educate and indoctrinate people to accept socialism and communism. So too, the Pope says the church should use education to bring people to their true end, which is God. The seventh point today is that liberalism is the father of socialism. He says this in paragraph 122. Paragraph 122, liberalism is the father of socialism. Liberals, and I'm talking about historic liberalism. There's a whole lot of definitions floating around about liberalism. I've got some neighbors in my neighborhood who are the sort of traditional Portland liberals. They can't stand progressives. Yet progressives claim to be liberals. You know, there's just this whole mess in society. But in traditional liberalism, it is about control. Now, I would say that the progressives have done us a favor, in that the progressives, by taking liberalism to its natural end, have proven to us that liberalism is about control, because the progressives, during the COVID pandemic, they wanted to exert extreme amounts of control over us. You know, you see it every day in the news, how some progressive governors, just like the one in my state, the one in Washington State, California, Michigan, different ones, how they have just exerted an immense amount of control over their citizens. And so please be clear on this, especially if you claim to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, that liberalism, not just in its current form, because the current form of liberalism, which we call progressivism, is just simply liberalism taken to its natural conclusion. It is not a tweak. Progressivism is not a tweak of liberalism. It is the natural end and conclusion of liberalism. But classical liberalism is all about government control over the population. I know that Adolf Hitler was called an extreme right winger. No, he was not. Adolf Hitler was a liberal who took things to its natural conclusion in that belief system. Please get that clear. Do not be deceived. Do not be deceived by language and words that they use to paint. So was it the saying to put lipstick on a pig? Number eight, the final point that he makes in this section is that many have wandered from the Christian faith into socialism. They claim that the church only cares about the rich, but history and the encyclical Rerum Novarum prove otherwise. The church has always cared about the poor. Now, there are some in the church, bad actors, okay, in the church, who favor the rich, but they do not stand. They are not the standard for the church. So we must remedy this falling away from the Christian faith. But how do we do this? Well, Pope Pius XI answers it next time in our exciting conclusion to this encyclical. The truth is precious. It is a treasure and should never be compromised. Yet we have compromised. I was talking to a friend the other day who used to live in China, and I told them that it seems weird to me that China is a communist country with a capitalist economy. But obviously that economy is tightly controlled, but we do that as humans. We create evil and unjust systems, then we compromise to try to minimize the injustices inherently built into these systems. But the Pope today shows us that it is not good to just minimize. Rather, we must abandon these systems altogether. But how do you abandon such enormous systems? Well, one way is to create a just economy in your neighborhood. Set the example, set the pace, so to speak. One neighborhood I know of is filled with people who are turning their lots in the city into gardens, the entire lot into gardens, to become independent from the supermarkets. What they are doing is creating a just society of sharing and care for the earth, independent of the wicked systems so present in our country. And may we create and begin to create just economies right where we are.
You've been listening to Common Sense on Social Justice with your host, Michael Davis. A common sense and fresh perspective to creating justice where you are. Share your comments and questions with Michael by emailing sjcommonsense@gmail.com. That's sjcommonsense@gmail.com.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.